prayer, and we'll get right into God's Word tonight. Thank you again, Father, for the opportunity to come to a close of another Lord's Day. I thank you, Lord, for just the privilege that you give to me to be able to stand behind this really is a sacred desk and be able to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, your Son. This has been a good week. 12 men came to know you through the prison revival. The flagman out here that stands in front of the church weekdays was saved this week. So it's been a good week just from seeing people brought to Christ. It's been a good day just to get together with my brothers and sisters in Christ and be able to praise you tonight, and praise you this morning, and hear your word. And ask that as we come to the close of this day, that it would be no different, that your people would go away, being able to say that they've been blessed to be here, and that they have been spiritually fed. That's why they came. And I ask, Lord, that you would do that for them. Thank you, Father, for what you'll do tonight. Speak through me. Use me. I ask in your Son's name. Amen. There's one verse I want you to look at here in 1 Peter chapter 4. It's verse 10. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God wants you to be a good steward. He wants you to be a good steward. So what is a steward? A steward is a person who manages the property of another person. He might manage a house, the household of another person. And we see that pictured beginning in the book of Genesis. Abraham had a steward. Obviously, he drew close to that steward when he waited from the age of 75 to about the age of 85 or so. And God said, remember, Abraham, I'm going to give you a seed. And your seed is going to be like the stars of heaven. Abraham said, God, maybe this Eliezer, my chief steward, maybe he could be my son. Remember that? So many times these stewards who occupied that role in the house were considered like family. And obviously Abraham looked at this man this way, and God said, no, Abraham, no. I'm going to give you a child through your own seed. Now, Eliezer was used of God. He was a blessing to Abraham. He was a steward. He was not literally a part of Abraham's family. In a sense, he was brought into the family through his stewardship. And he managed what Abraham owned. You see stories, parables in which a steward is mentioned. Remember, there's a parable by Christ in which he said there was an unjust steward. So we understand the scripture mentions stewardship, and it mentions stewardship for you and me. It is required in a what? Steward, that a man be found faithful. That's what Paul taught the Corinthian church. It is required in a steward. So God has it in mind that you, whether you're male or female, young or old, have the heart of a steward. And a steward manages a house, manages the household for that individual. He basically oversees a possession for which he is given responsibility. Now, I want you to understand this, make sure we understand this. A steward is a steward. He is not the owner of the property. He's the steward of the property. A steward is a steward. He is not the master. He's just, if you would, the steward of the master's property. A steward takes care of and properly uses what belongs to his master. Now, looking at this one verse tonight, I want you to notice this. He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. You can't be a good steward if you have not received the gift. To be a faithful steward, as Paul talked about to the church at Corinth there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, to be a good steward You have to be one who has received the gift. Now, what gift is he talking about? Well, I think you already know what that gift is. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. And notice the wording there, as every man hath received the gift, this is the gift, and that is eternal life. You cannot be a steward for God and, if you, in a sense, manage those things that God has placed in your life if you have not become part of his family. You got to be part of that family. You have had to have received the gift, and that gift is eternal life. Now, there's always the assumption by me that on Sunday night it's just God's crowd. And on Wednesday night it's just God's crowd. I was at the pastor's fellowship this past Monday, and the first meeting, we run the pastor's fellowship year concurrent with the school year. We begin in September and have our last meeting in May. And so the beginning of the fellowship started this past Monday and was at Victory Baptist Church, Pastor Nathan Barker. The Victory Baptist celebrated last week their 35th anniversary. And out of that church, there are several men who were called to preach. So Brother Barker brought all those men who were called to preach and trained to preach under his dad, Brother Bob Barker, brought them back. So we got to hear a pastor from North Dakota, and we got to hear a pastor from the Atlantic coast of Virginia, a pastor that is now in Ohio, and a pastor here in West Virginia. Got to hear some of these different men. And the guy from Virginia especially, man, he was good. I mean, he was really, really good. But that's besides the point. After those men preached, Brother Barker got back up. Now remember, this is a bunch of preachers, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries. That's basically the crowd. A few church members from Victory were there, but basically it's pastors, evangelists, and missionaries. And Nathan Barker stands up and he says, now we're going to have, as we do with each of those meetings, we always give an invitation so that if God has dealt with your heart or encouraged your heart, you know, just like we do with our services here, gives the pastors and those in full-time work the chance to come and spend some time with the Lord. And he stands up there and says, now, we're going to have an invitation. And if God has dealt with you about getting saved, the invitation is open to you. And then he said, now, I realize this is all preachers, but he said, the pastor I worked for the last 11, 12, 14 years down in the state of Tennessee, Brother Barker, before he became pastor here at Victory, was an assistant pastor for many years under the man, I believe, who led his father, Bob Barker, to Christ in Parkersburg some 40 years ago. That man has a church down in, I can't remember what city it is in Tennessee, about 600 people. They run, I think the membership is much bigger, but they run about 600 every Sunday. He said, my pastor, a number of years ago, stood and preached a gospel message, and as he was preaching, God convicted him that he was not saved. Remember I told you this, you know, I told you before about a pastor who was preaching and he got convicted while he preached that he was not saved? That's the guy, that pastor down in Tennessee. And he said, I know we're a bunch of preachers, but you never know. You know, you could have been serving the Lord all these years and realized you'd never have truly been saved. And that is unusual, but it does happen. So I'm just going to say the same thing tonight. Maybe you have stood behind a class lectern, or maybe you've sung in the church choir, worked in the church nursery. Maybe you've greeted people coming through the door. You know, to be God's steward, you got to have the gift of eternal life. And sometimes people think they're saved who really aren't. Now again, I'll tell you what I told you this morning. I don't a desire to make anybody doubt what they genuinely have. But I think it's good sometimes just to examine ourselves. So you have to have the gift to be a steward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that gift, the gift that he speaks of, is eternal life that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in that gift of eternal life are many things. And I'll just, if you kind of get the picture of this large box, and on the outside it says the gift of eternal life, or maybe you could even just put the word salvation. And you open the lid to that large box, the gift of eternal life, are many other gifts. Now, one of the things we're doing during our meeting with Brother Tozier, we did this I think last time he came, about 2 years ago, every night we're going to emphasize a different Sunday school ministry. One night will be New Beginnings. One night will be Cornerstone. One night will be Pilgrim's Progress. Sunday night will be Caleb's Clan. And we're just going to emphasize, but on Sunday morning we're going to have Family and Friend Day, because what we're going to strive to do is bring in as many lost people as we possibly can to be under the sound of the gospel. And so in order to encourage people, we're going to give a large gift filled with many, many things. It's going to be a family gift. There's going to be Christian movies. There's going to be candy and pop. It's actually all made up. I thought about bringing it over tonight, but it's heavy, and I didn't want to do it. Now, if it were here, though, you'd see this great big container and all of these things that are filled. It's just filled with different things. The family who brings the most people that Sunday, that'll be yours. So what if we have a tie? Then we'll get another box filled with that stuff, you know. But that if you saw that container, it is just filled full. Now that's the gift, and inside the gift are many smaller gifts, okay? Imagine tonight this gift of eternal life, and inside that gift are other gifts, if you would. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, you know this verse, if you want to turn there, you can. Peter is preaching, actually, and he says this as he preaches. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then he says this, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you are given the gift of eternal life, that guarantees you will spend an eternity with God. That guarantees you that heaven will be your home. That guarantees you that you will never spend a moment in a devil's hell. You have the gift of eternal life. But God says, I want you to have more than just a guarantee to eternal life. More than just heaven to look forward to and hell to avoid. I want you to have something that's going to benefit you at this moment. So God does something along with the gift of eternal life. He places within you the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we're told, guides us into all truth. He's our teacher. The Holy Spirit seals us unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is our conscience. He reproves the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He comforts us in all our distress. The Holy Spirit is the one who intercedes for us. He is one who pleads with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit has many functions in my life and in your life. And God says, I'm going to give you the gift of eternal life so that you're sure of heaven and you are sure you will not spend an eternity in hell. And before you get there, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to abide in you forever. And He's going to help you every step of the way until you cross, in a sense, the shore. Until you cross into heaven, the Holy Spirit is there to be with you every step of the way. That's a gift that God has within the gift. Does that make sense? Now I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I want you to look at verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. In the sixth verse of Romans 12, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now notice he says, when you get saved, I give you the gift of eternal life. And before you actually get to spend your eternity with me in that place called heaven, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide you every step of the way. He'll reprove you when you sin. He'll comfort you when you need comfort. He'll intercede for you when you don't know what to say. He'll do all kinds of things. He'll seal you unto the day of redemption. All these things that the Holy Spirit does between now and the moment you step into heaven. And he says, by the way, I'm going to give you some other gifts. Because God's design on how we function and function properly is not as an individual. It's as a family. That's why God created the church. I got to be careful how I say this. I believe in the... And I know some of you are going to dislike this term, the universal church. I know that's a term used by others. I mean that in this sense. I do believe that there is the bride of Christ that consists of people in Uganda. Amen. And in Nicaragua. Right. And in Yugoslavia. And Canada, the United States, South Korea. You know, all over. I can't meet with the brethren. You know, Corey ministers over in China. I can't meet with those brethren. And I can't meet with the brethren in the Philippines with the Wanderers. And I can't meet with the folks down in Mexico where the winds are. I can't meet with those people. I can only meet with the people that live in this area. So this church family, the bride of Christ, is placed strategically by the Holy Spirit in what we see designed in the New Testament, local churches. The church at Rome. The church at Colossae. The church at Ephesus. The church at Thessalonica. These were local churches. And the things emphasized and stressed was to the local church, not a mystic church. So I know that term universal is a kind of almost shaky term, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. So here is the local church. And he said, now, for you to function best, you can't stay at home and watch Charles Stanley. You can't stay at home and watch whoever your favorite television preacher is. And I'm not condemning a television preacher. I grew up in a church. We were on television every Sunday. So it'd be foolish for me to stand up here and condemn it. But those people, and I had this said to me the other day, well, Debbie and I were out visitation Thursday night. We met a young lady, and she said, well, I just watch a church over a webcast. That's good, because I know the church she's watching, she's getting the gospel nice and plain, but that's not God's design. God said, I want you in a local body of believers, and here's one of the reasons for all these spiritual gifts. I'm giving you these gifts differing according to this grace I've poured into your life, and some of you I'm going to give the gift of prophecy. Now we know the gift of prophecy, or the word prophecy, can mean forth. Foretelling the future, and that's what Elijah did, and that's what Ezekiel did, and that's what Daniel did. But that's not necessarily what I do, or any man who's ever preached the gospel. We foretell the message that comes from this book. We foretell the message that comes from this book. And God says, I'm going to give some of you the gift of prophecy. He said, I'm going to give some of you the gift of ministry. Notice verse 7. What is ministry? It's a Holy Spirit given gift to minister to people and serve people in a special way. There are people within this church family who just seem to have, for the lack of a better expression, a knack in ministering to people when they have need. They just know when a need comes up, and they make a beeline to minister and serve those people. God says, all of us should serve one another. But there are some people, I believe, that are gifted, that have this spiritual gift to serve people in a special way. He says, there is a gift called the gift of teaching. And some of you stand in different classrooms on Sunday mornings, or you stand in a class on Wednesday nights, or maybe you work, as we have the Good News Club and all these things, you know, all these different ministries that we have, and you stand and teach. And God's given you a gift. Not everybody can teach. Not everybody can teach. It's a spiritual gift. He talks about in verse 8 the gift of exhortation. To exhort somebody when they feel like they've come to the end of the rope and they can't go any further. You exhort them to go on. When they're heartbroken, you do what you can to bring consolation and comfort. I love that about our Savior. He's called the God of all comfort. And He's called the God of consolation. And I told you this about a year ago, and this has really struck me the last few years. God does not take away all pain and all sorrow. But He consoles us. And just like I'm standing here in the arms of God, and God just consoles. It's going to be all right. I'm going to get you through this. I'm going to help you. You just hold on. You just hold on. And God says, I give some of you a gift called the gift of exhortation, in which you'll exhort people who don't feel like can go on, comfort people that are discouraged, console those who need consoled. Talks about the gift of mercy there at the end of verse 8. Just an attitude of compassion. Now, this past week at the Sunday School Matters meeting, I believe Brother Phil passed out information about spiritual gifts. Knowing what your spiritual gifts are. And Ray was going over that sheet a little bit the other night and was marking it off. And she said, I think I have this gift. You know what? There are people that God has given the gift of mercy. It is a spiritual gift within the gift of eternal life, in which God enables some of you to do what others cannot do. You know, it's kind of like the classic picture of a mom and dad. Your child skins their knee, they're bawling their eyes out, and dad says, get up and get going. Do it over again. That's what my dad said. Get up and do it again. You know, I don't want to break my leg again, Dad. I don't want to break a leg again. And, you know, a mom is, she kind of grabs you and hugs you and holds you, kisses you, oh, it's going to be all right, you know, that kind of thing. Listen, God says, I give some people a gift of mercy, a compassion, when others don't have that. They all are needed in the church, and that's why it's important for you to be part of a local church. And of course you are. I'm speaking to the, you know, you'll say, I'm speaking to the choir. I don't have this big of a choir, so you are now official members of the choir. But anyway, I guess I'm talking to the wrong crowd because you're here, but you understand where I'm going with this, right? Now, God says back in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, and within the gift of eternal life is the Holy Spirit to direct you to take the spiritual gifts He's enabled you with to know how to help different people in the ministry, different people in the church family, and sometimes even people outside the church family, whether they're saved or lost. As every man hath received the gift, believing that you have, even so minister the same, that same gift, one to another. And so, I just ask you tonight, are you ministering the gift one to another? And notice the word minister. What does that mean? It means to serve. Serve others with the spiritual gifts that God has enabled you with. Number one, the gift. You got the gift of eternal life. You ought to be telling other people about the gift of eternal life. One of the men that was with us at the prison revival, first time I ever met him, he comes out of the state of Ohio. His name is Dave. Brother Streets, you remember his last name? Herman. Dave Herman. Nice man. Got saved. I think back in 1974, I think he said. But anyway, whenever he got saved, God got a hold of his heart. And he has served the Lord over the years, pastored for a number of years, and now he's in the prison ministry. And so he was with us this past week. And on Wednesday afternoon, he stood up there at the road and led William, the flagman, to Christ. Led him to Christ. He took the gift that he has, the gift of eternal life, and as God's steward, he ministered the same one to another. Now, William wasn't saved, but William got saved. I'm walking across the front of the church over to the house, and William yells out, hey, I got to talk to you. I got saved today. That was pretty cool. You know, all these trucks and cars going by. I got to talk to you. I got saved today. He didn't seem ashamed at all, because someone ministered the gift that he had received, and now William has that gift as well. Are you using the treasures within the gift of eternal life to help others in this body of believers? Are you using the treasures that is in the gift of eternal life to minister to those even without the church who need Christ? Notice at the end of verse 10, he refers to it as the manifold grace of God, the many-faceted grace of God. He said, there's so much I want to give to people, and I've given some of it to you to minister to others. And so he says, as you have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. How? As. Now, he doesn't say that you are a steward. You're a son. But he said, as my son, I want you to function like a steward. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, I want you to minister this to other people. Now, that reminds me of what we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now God has given you eternal life, and you're now His child, His son, His daughter. And He's given you the gift of eternal life, and given you the gift of heaven, and given you the gift of teaching, or the gift of prophecy, or the gift of mercy. He's done all these wonderful things, but He said, I want to remind you that you now belong to Me. And so I want you to function as a steward. Not just a steward, I want you to function as a good steward, because there is mention of an unjust steward. I want you to function as a good steward of this manifold, many-faceted grace of God that needs to be poured into other people, and I'm going to use you to do it. I'm going to use you to minister to people, if you allow me to. And that's His command. So I'm going to ask a question tonight. What kind of steward are you? What kind of steward are you? Are you a good steward? Are you taking these things that God has placed in you and right now ministering to others with the gifts that He has placed in your life? Now, one of the reasons I say that is for this reason. Over the years, since I've been saved, I've had this kind of warped thinking. And this is especially important, I think, for our young people down here, our teenagers, our children, and our young adults. There is this mindset in me. One day, I'm going to be a good steward of the grace of God. But first, I got to get through high school. And once I get through high school, then. Now, I wasn't doing wicked things. I wasn't living for the devil. I was going on visitation. I was reading my Bible. I sang in the church choir. I did all those things. And then eventually, I went to Bible college. And I had this mindset, now once I get my education in college, then I can begin to minister the manifold grace of God to others. I can be a good steward then. But first I got to get through this, and then when God puts me in a church to minister, then I can do that. Or, the Lord forbid that anybody has this thought, if God calls you to ministry, I'm just an assistant pastor, but one day when I'm the head pastor, which sometimes I would gladly go back to being an assistant pastor. But anyway, that's besides the point. Listen, once I become a head pastor, then I can, you know what? Forget all those things. Right where you are right now, Brian. And right where you are right now, any of you teenagers, any of you young adults, you're not waiting on anything. God wants you to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God right where you are. Elijah, you're preparing for ministry. Right now, you're beginning that beginning portion of your college education to serve God in evangelism. Brother, you're not waiting until you graduate to begin to minister. God has given you the responsibility of being a good steward right now and ministering that manifold grace of God right now. We're not waiting for anything. And sometimes that was my mindset. You know, when I get to this point in my life, or when I get to that point in my life, then, there is no then. It's now. It's now. You may not be in the best place now, but wherever God has you now is the place where He wants you to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. It may be a painful place. It may be a boring place. It may be a waiting place. I'm going to say this without trying to be offensive. It may be the end of the line place. We were talking in choir tonight. Somebody said, "Pastor, you're about to cross into that big 6-0. You know, great, thanks. I didn't say what I wanted to say, but anyway. For some of you, say, you know, I'm coming toward the end of the line. This is the place God has you now. And this is where you are to be a good steward now. I'm going to pick on Brother Streets. Is that okay? Okay. You can hit me afterwards because I have a meeting with him afterwards. Brother Streets was called to preach, went to Tennessee Temple University, prepared, came back to the state of West Virginia and started a church down in Volga, right? Started a church and it was going very well. Until God allowed him to be struck down with his health. Had a church that's growing. God's using him. And it almost appeared that God took it all away, didn't it? God took his health away, and he has struggled all these years with his health. But God has put him in places where God could use him to minister. At Sharps. For 20 years, you said, or more, ministering to people who are mentally unsound. There's not many people that could do that, but God equipped him to do that. He's been a faithful minister here. He really has. And I forbid you folks move. I'm just teasing. I can't forbid you from doing that. But even with all the health issues that you're currently facing, all the things you've gone through the years, God just wants you to be a good steward of the manifold grace of God where you're at. You know, had God not taken away his health, maybe he'd have the biggest church in West Virginia. Maybe his name would be up in the limelight. That's not what God had for him. God had a reason. I don't understand it. God had a reason. And I don't know what God may or may not do in your future. Future doesn't matter. What matters is right now, wherever you're at right now, be a good steward of the manifold grace of God in your life. He's given you a gift, the gift of eternal life. I'm going to pick on Nick for a minute. Nick has grown by leaps and bounds. Darby has grown by leaps and bounds. And I know I'm singling these guys out. And do not dare get the big head. Maybe one day God's going to call these guys to preach. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Don't worry about then. Worry about now. Minister the manifold grace of God as God's good steward now. If he calls you one day to preach, praise the Lord. If he doesn't call you to preach, praise the Lord. You just be a good steward where you're at. So wherever your particular situation is, early in life, midlife, your golden years, whatever it is, whether you're in good health or poor health, whether your circumstances seem rosy and great, or whether you are going through great struggles, listen, wherever you're at, be a good steward of the manifold grace of God, and as God has given you the gift of eternal life, minister it to others. Minister it to people in the church. Minister it to people outside the church. But this is the ultimate responsibility I have here and now. To be a good steward of God's grace and minister to others. Let's bow our heads for prayer.